Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Gutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirvasesa Sanyavadi Paskachyade Satarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalani Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sankana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvajutam Padijana Saita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lamita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai
Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya
Nityananda Jai Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda March 11th, 2012, in Vienna, Slovenia, and we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 12, Text 37. Dandashuni Vishvasahaila Parama Dukita.
Dandashuni Vishvasahaila Parama Dukita.
Suniya Prabhura Danda Archaya Harshita. Suniya Prabhura Danda Archaya Harshita
Suniya Prabhura Danda Archaya Harshita Danda Suni Vishwasa Kaila Parama Dukita
Danda Suni Vishwasa Kaila Parama Dukita
Suniya Prabhura Danda Archaya Harshita
Suniya Prabhura Danda
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Danda, punishment, Acharya, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, Harshita, very much pleased. So I'm just going to read the translation, and I'm going to read a series of verses, and then I'll come back, read this translation again, and you the purport. Are you going to translate simultaneously or piece by piece?
Simultaneously.
If I'm going too fast, or if I say anything you don't understand, please tell me. Okay. Anything you want me to clarify? It's nice to be back here, Lubien. So this chapter is about the branches of Advaitacharya and Gadadhar Pandit. And in this first part of the chapter is a description of the branches of Advaita Acharya. So sometimes just the names of a branch are given, and sometimes some story or incident regarding one of the branches is also given. So here is a story about one branch, one sub-branch of the branch of Advaita Acharya. So I'm just going to read through these translations. I'm going to read from 28 through 55, then I'm going to go back to 37 and read that. So starting with 28. Advaitacharya's very confidential servant named Kamala Kanta Vishvasa knew all the dealings of Advaita Acharya. And Prabhupada says here that he was just like the secretary. That he was born in a Brahmin family, that he was a very confidential servant of Lord Chaitanya, and that he was Advaitacharya's secretary. When Kamalakanta Vishvasa was in Jagannath Puri, he sent a note through someone to Maharaj Pratiprarudra. No one knew of that note, but somehow or other it reached the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Kamalakanta Vishvasa tried to send a note to the king quietly, confidentially, without telling anyone else. But somehow Mahaprabhu saw this note. Okay, going on to text 31. That note established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it also mentioned that Advaita Acharya had recently incurred a debt of about 300 rupees that Kamalakanta Vishvasa wanted to liquidate. 300 rupees at that time would be quite a lot. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became unhappy upon reading the note, although his face still shone as brightly as the moon. Thus smiling, he spoke as follows. He has established Advaita Acharya as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing wrong with this, for he is indeed the Lord himself. But he has made the incarnation of Godhead a poverty-stricken beggar. Therefore, I shall punish him for his correction. So this is important in regards to today's verse, the Bengali, Dandakari Karaiva Shiksha. So danda is punishment, kari I will give, karaiba shiksha, which will cause him to be corrected, which will cause him to be rectified. So the purpose of the Lord's punishment was the benefit of the devotee. And the point here is there was something wrong with Kamalakanta Vishvasa's mentality. So if he had gone to the king and said, Advaitacharya is an incarnation of God, and he is supplying all the riches of the universe, but somehow for his pleasure, he apparently has this 300 rupee situation, and as seva to the Lord, would you be willing to do it? That would have been okay. But instead he says, he's God, but he's in debt. So Mahaprabhu didn't appreciate this. Okay, going on to text 36. The Lord ordered Govinda, from today on do not allow that Bolila Kamalakanta Vishvasa to come here. So Lord Chaitanya told his servant that that from now on I'm not going to see this person. This is a very confidential, intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So today's verse, when Kamalakanta Vishvasa heard about this punishment by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very much unhappy. But when Advaita Prabhu heard about it, he was greatly pleased. So you see dukkha and harsha. Harsha is to be happy, dukkha is to be unhappy. So Kamalakanta Vishvas was unhappy, but his direct master Advaitacharya was happy. So of course Advaitacharya was not happy that his servant was punished exactly, but he was happy that Mahaprabhu was correcting him. Okay, again, we'll come back and read this again. Text 38. Seeing Kamalakanta Vishvas unhappy. Oh, thank you so much. Advaitacharya Prabhu told him, "You are greatly fortunate to have been punished by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Formerly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always respected me as his senior, but I did not like such respect. Therefore, my mind being afflicted by unhappiness, I made a plan." So here, Advaitacharya, this is his servant, his secretary, and he sees his secretary is sad. So he's saying, don't be sad with this punishment. And then he's giving an example from his own life situation. And he said, Mahaprabhu treated me as his senior, but I didn't like that. I wanted to be the Lord's servant, so I made a plan. Okay, text 40. "Thus I expounded the Yoga Vasistha, which considers liberation the ultimate goal of life. For this, the Lord became angry at me and treated me with apparent disrespect. When chastised by Lord Chaitanya, I was very happy to receive a punishment similar to that awarded Sri Mukunda." So you all remember that Mukunda used to associate with impersonalists, and therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You cannot see me anymore." And then when Mukunda asked, "When will I be able to see you?" Mahaprabhu said, "After millions of years." And then Mukunda was dancing, as Prabhupada says here in this purport, with jubilation. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Mukunda was so patiently waiting to meet him after millions of years, he immediately asked him to return. Okay, going on with text 42. "A similar punishment was awarded to Mother Sachi Devi. Who could be more fortunate than she to receive such punishment?" So Sachi Devi accused Advaitacharya of inducing her son Visharup to take sannyas, and therefore she was angry with him. And Mahaprabhu considered that she had offended Advaitacharya and told her she had to touch Advaitacharya's feet. So text 43. After pacifying Kamalakanta Vishvasa in this way, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can see here Advaitacharya's diplomacy. So first he instructs his secretary that this is actually a benediction. And this punishment is so much of a benediction. He says that I intentionally did something to be punished by the Lord. I intentionally taught impersonal philosophy just so the Lord would punish me. And then he gives two examples. What were the two examples besides himself? Sachi Devi and Mukunda. And he was explaining how the Lord also punished them, but this punishment was his kindness. So then after pacifying Kamalakanta Vishvasa, then he goes to see Mahaprabhu. Sri Advaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya, now just see how diplomatic he is here. He doesn't go to Mahaprabhu and say, "What are you doing? Why are you harassing my secretary? He's just trying to help me out and do some service, and you're just harassing him." He doesn't do that. He says, Sri Advaitacharya told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "I cannot understand your transcendental pastimes. You have shown more favor to Kamalakanta than you generally show to me." So, in psychology, we call this reframing. Have you ever heard of this in counseling? It's called reframing. So you reinterpret, you change your interpretation of what's happening. So first Advaitacharya did this for his secretary. He said to his secretary, this is a terrible punishment. So imagine if you were told, okay, you can't come to the temple anymore. You're banned. Sometimes that happens. I mean, it does. There was one temple, we won't say where the temple president, this was his general habit, to ban devotees. Or imagine if you were banned from ISKCON. You know, recently I was speaking to one devotee. He wants to do some service, and his Guru Maharaj has given him all encouragement. But the local leaders at the local temple, they don't like this thing he wants to do. And he says, you know, I'm scared that if I follow my guru's orders and do this service, then I'll be banned from the local temple. What will I do? He was in great confusion. So this is what happened to Kamalakanta Vishwas, that he was banned from seeing Mahaprabhu with no ending date. No ending date and no instructions for rectification. Just you're banned. Okay? So Advaitacharya, he reframes this for Kamalakanta Vishwas. He says, actually, this is a benediction. Gives three examples. Then he goes to Mahaprabhu and he reframes it for Mahaprabhu. He says to Mahaprabhu, why are you awarding this man? More than me. So going on with what he's saying, the favor you have shown Kamalakanta is so great that even to me you have never shown such favor. What offense have I committed at your lotus feet so as not to be shown such favor? So he's saying to Mahaprabhu, you've given a great benediction to my secretary. Why don't you do this to me? Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed with satisfaction and immediately called Kamalakanta Vishwas. So he enjoyed Advaitacharya's reinterpretation of the events, and he said, okay, bring him here immediately. Now this is really funny. Advaitacharya then says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why have you called back this man and allowed him to see you? He has cheated me in two ways. So he's saying now that this man, his secretary, has gotten Mahaprabhu's mercy in two ways. First by being banned, and then very quickly being called back. He said, in both of these ways, this man is getting more of your love than I am getting. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, his mind was satisfied. Only they could understand each other's minds. Well, someone else may think, well, how does this make any sense? Right? It seems that their understanding is opposite to what's happening. Okay, text 49. Now he gives him some instruction. And now Mahaprabhu is going to give Kamalakanta Vishwas instruction. What did he do wrong? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Kamalakanta, you are a boila, one who does not know things as they are. A boila is one opposite hanta group. Why do you act in this way? Why do you invade the privacy of Advaitacharya and damage his religious principles? Now he's going to instruct him. Remember, Mahaprabhu was upset that Kamalakanta was saying both that Advaitacharya is God and that Advaitacharya could be a debtor. But now he's giving Kamalakanta different instruction. Because he went for money to Maharaj Pratiparudra. And I'm sure we all remember how Mahaprabhu himself didn't want to see King Pratiparudra for a long time because he said, oh, he's a materialistic person. This is text 50. Advaitacharya, my spiritual master, should never accept charity from rich men or kings, because if a spiritual master accepts money or grains from such materialists, his mind becomes polluted. So, this is also very interesting instruction, which we're not going to get into much today, but the concept that if a materialistic person is giving you things as a gift, that it will pollute your mind. And here, Mahaprabhu is specifically saying one should not take food by a materialistic person. So this verse is very important as far as what we eat. That if we eat food that's cooked or given by materialistic persons, our mind will become polluted. And the same with charity. If we accept money from materialistic persons. Why? Because then we want to please them. If you're working for someone as a job, that's something different. But if someone is just giving you something, and then you're thinking, oh, let me please this person. So next text. When one's mind is polluted, it is very difficult to remember Krishna. And when remembrance of Lord Krishna is hampered, one's life is unproductive. So if we are taking money and food from materialistic people, then we cannot remember Krishna. Thus one becomes very unpopular in the eyes of the people in general, for this damages his religiosity and fame. A Vaishnava, especially one who acts as a spiritual master, must not act in this way. One should always be conscious of this fact. So here Mahaprabhu is giving another reason. He's saying that your fame is damaged, you won't be able to preach properly. So first thing he's saying, internally, you won't be able to remember Krishna. Externally, you won't be able to preach. So it's interesting that this is the instruction Mahaprabhu gave. Mahaprabhu's reason for banning Kamalakanta was that he called Advaitacharya both God and a beggar. But when he instructs Kamalakanta, his focus is different. His focus is, don't try to maintain Advaitacharya, your master, by begging money from materialistic people. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this instruction to Kamalakanta, all present considered it to be meant for everyone. Thus, Advaitacharya was greatly pleased. So Advaitacharya was very happy that this behavior of his servant gave an opportunity for Mahaprabhu to give this important instruction to everyone in general. People didn't think, oh, this is just for Advaitacharya and Kamalakanta. People thought, this is for me also. Only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand the intentions of Advaitacharya, and Advaitacharya appreciated the great instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this statement, the statement about not taking from materialistic people, there are many confidential considerations. I do not write of them all, fearing an unnecessary increase in the volume of this book. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj says things like that in a number of places, that there's more to say, but he's not saying it at this time. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada told all of his followers that they should also write books. We shouldn't think everything has been said. And there are so many more things that we can say. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj, he increased the instruction given by Vrindavan Das Thakur in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. He expanded and gave information not already given. Okay, we're going to go back, although there's a lot in this section. I wanted to read the whole section because I felt without reading the whole section, this verse really wouldn't make much sense. And it needs to be understood in context. So let me go back and read verse 37 again in the purport. When Kamalakanta Vishvasa heard about this punishment by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very much unhappy. But when Advaita Prabhu heard about it, he was greatly pleased. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dveshas Stinam Priyaha. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, Bhagavad Gita 9:29. The Supreme Personality of Godhead being equal to everyone, no one can be his enemy, nor can anyone be his friend, since everyone is a part or son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord cannot partially regard someone as a friend and someone as an enemy. Thus, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu punished Kamalakanta Vishvasa by no longer allowing him to come in his presence, although the punishment was actually very hard on him, Sri Advaita Prabhu, understanding the inner meaning of such punishment, was happy, because he appreciated that the Lord had actually favored Kamalakanta Vishvasa. Therefore, he was not at all unhappy. Devotees should always be happy with all the dealings of their master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees should always be happy with all the dealings of their master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be put into difficulty or opulence, but he should accept both as gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be put into difficulty or opulence, but he should accept both as gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and jubilantly engage in the service of the Lord in all circumstances. And jubilantly engage in the service of the Lord in all circumstances. So whether we have difficulty or opulence, we are happy with the dealings of our master, and jubilantly. To be jubilant means to be very happy, dancing happy, party happy, celebration happy, festival happy. Happy is just happy. A jubilant is very, very joyous celebration, and to go on in service. So here Srila Prabhupada's giving the thinking, feeling, and willing, the thoughts, emotions, and behavior of a devotee. Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva, Shri Shri Paranita. How does a devotee think? And this is important. Although this particular instruction is in the context of difficulty, it is equally an important instruction in the context of opulence. Some of us forget the Lord in difficulty and remember Him in opulence, and some of us remember the Lord in difficulty and forget Him in opulence. Right? If we look at our own life, when do we tend to remember Krishna? And when do we tend to forget Him? So some of us forget Him when we have a facility for material opulence. And when we're in difficulty, we're Krishna, Krishna. And other people, when they're in opulence, oh, Krishna, Krishna is so kind. Let me use this in His service. And when we're in difficulty, ah, oh, Krishna, what is He doing? Why did I serve Him? Look what He's doing to me. I'm not going to like Him anymore. So this is the... And each of us probably has some tendency. So some of us have more of a tendency to remember Krishna in opulence, and some more in distress. And this happiness and distress will come. If we're not a devotee, it will come by our karma. And if we're a devotee, it will come by Krishna's grace. So let's look at these three: thoughts, feelings, and actions. So what is a devotee going to think? Either when there's happiness or distress. So you can pick whichever one you struggle with and apply what I'm saying to that one. And if you struggle with both of them, if you never remember Krishna, whether you're happy or opulent, then you can apply this to both. And if you always remember Krishna, then maybe you can learn something for preaching to others. So the devotee is thinking, first of all, happiness and distress, they come to everybody. Right? Matra sparsha stukavteya sitoshna sukadukada agama payano nichastan chatikshastra bharata abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartin orjina That even if you are Lord Brahma, you will have some difficulty. Now, we are thinking, if I could just arrange the material energy in the right way, I won't have any difficulty anymore. If I could just figure out the right arrangement, the right country to live in, the right house to live in, the right ashram to be in, you know, should I be in a renounced ashram, should I be in a married ashram, the right job to have, what is my varna, what is my personality, the right people to live with, the right clothes to wear, the right food to eat, etc., etc., etc. And if I could just figure all that out, then I would be happy. And sometimes we think we figured it out, and we think, now I have gotten it. I have everything is right. Everything is perfect for me. Now I will be happy. And very soon some other problem comes. And then we're thinking, now if I fix this problem, then I will be happy. Just one problem. How is it that whatever problem we are focusing on, as soon as we fix that, somehow there are other ones? We don't understand this, but it keeps coming like that. So sometimes we may think, well, if I wasn't a devotee, if I was just a non-devotee, I wouldn't be having so many problems. But everybody has problems, and everyone has opulences also. It will be mixed. So that's the first thing one should think. As long as I'm in this material world, there's going to be, the modes of nature are going to be changing. Sometimes I will be healthy, sometimes I will be sick. Sometimes people will like me, sometimes people will not like me. Sometimes I will have money, sometimes I will not have money. Sometimes I will like the brahmacharis that I share the room with, sometimes I will not like them. And the next thing we think is that I am now under Krishna's protection. Karmadi nirdhati kim duca bhakti bhajam. So what is happening to me now is the grace of the Lord. I mean, even my karma is ultimately Krishna's grace. Karma is also meant to purify. So even if I am just suffering because of my karma or enjoying because of my karma, still, that is the Lord's grace. But if I'm serving Krishna directly, then he has his personal hand in it. It's under his personal direction. It's like the difference between just being one of, you know, 20,000 students in a big university and working with your personal tutor. So when we're under Krishna's direction, we have a personal tutor. Just like in some temples, they set up like a counselor system or a mentor system. I mean, how well it works in each place, that's another discussion. But the idea is that each person gets someone who's personally helping them. This is also the concept of having a guru. Why is there guru, sadhu, and shastra? Why not just sadhus? Because guru is someone, the ideal situation, is giving you personal guidance. Actually looking at your individual life. So Krishna, of course, is a supreme guru. He's looking at my individual life. And Krishna, as Prabhupada says here, na me dvesha asti na priyaha. I don't envy anybody. I don't have any favorites, Krishna is saying. I mean, we might think, oh, that person, they are beautiful and healthy and rich and everything is nice for them. Krishna must like them more than he likes me. Or that person is making more advancement faster than I am. Krishna must like that person more than he likes me. So no, the thought the devotees have is Krishna is equal. Krishna is equal. Krishna doesn't love anybody more than anybody else. Krishna loves everybody fully. Prabhupada says that Krishna is embracing Radharani and he's also embracing the cow. You know, the little small animals. Prabhupada said, it was one very nice place, Prabhupada was saying how in Vrindavan, the little animals are around Krishna, and Krishna loves them also. Krishna also has goats. He loves the flowers. It's not only, oh, only Krishna loves this devotee. Krishna loves everyone. And Krishna is my dear friend, Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He really, really loves me. I mean, actually, Krishna loves me more than I can even imagine. More than I can imagine. If we take someone who's my dear friend, like Majjana Lila, she's my good friend. I know Dara Chandrika, she's my good friend. I know that if I'm in trouble, I can go to them, they'll help me. But you take their, you know, take the friendship of your good friend, or your mother, your child, someone, if you think about who is it that I know, this person, they really love me. And you multiply that by millions and millions and millions and millions of times. So that's Krishna's love. Unconditional. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Rajeshya Arjunajistati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Mayayam. Whatever machine we go in, he follows us. Even if I become in the body of a scorpion or a mosquito carrying malaria. I mean, just imagine what kind of mentality you have to be a mosquito carrying malaria. What, how envious you would have to be. Living by drinking the blood of others and infecting them with some terrible disease. What a evil, envious mentality you would have to get such a body. Or at least in America, we have these plants, poison ivy, poison oak. Do you have them here?
No.
She says yes, he says no. Anyway, these plants, you just touch them and you get a very bad rash. You have any plants like that?
Yes.
And you'd be itching for 2 or 3 weeks. And it burns like fire. You can hardly sleep. Waking up at night and going in the shower and putting ice on your body because burning feels like millions of little hot bugs climbing on you. You just touch them. So again, how angry and envious would you have to be? Someone just touches you and you make them suffer for 3 weeks. But Krishna still stays in the heart. As the friend. Even you become a mosquito, you become a poisonous plant. Krishna has so much love. You know, if I had some friend that I just touched them and they gave me some disease for a month, I wouldn't be with them anymore. But Krishna is the best friend. And as the best friend, all of his actions are loving. Krishna already has everything. I mean, I may be cruel to someone because I think I need something from them, or I want to overlord them. Krishna has, he has no need for this. He's already the Lord. Krishna's the Lord whether I serve him or not. He has everything. He doesn't need anything from me. Or envy anything from me. He doesn't even hate me for hating him. You know, if somebody hates me, I may hate them just because they hate me. You understand? But Krishna is, he doesn't need like that. Whether you hate him, whether you love him, he still loves. So these are the things we can think. Krishna is always my friend, he's always loving, he loves everyone equally. He is not singling me out in some way. Whatever he's doing is for my benefit. Benefit means, what does benefit mean? He wants me to experience unlimited joy. He wants me to experience my constitutional nature, that I am eternal. If I know I'm eternal, then I have peace because I can't be harmed by anything. Krishna doesn't like seeing that I have anxieties. Somebody might steal my money, my house might burn down, I might get banned from the temple, my body may break, and then I won't be able to do anything anymore. And who will take care of me? So many anxieties. Krishna wants us to have, instead of anxiety, peace. By knowing I am eternal, I have nothing to do with this world, I cannot be hurt by anything of this world. And he wants me to have knowledge. In material life, I'm in ignorance. I don't know what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, what to be, what not to be. I don't know what's good for me and what's bad for me. I do things and I don't know what the result will be. If I marry this person, what will happen? I don't know. If I never marry my whole life, what will happen? I don't know. If I go to this place, what will happen? If I go to this place, what will happen? If I study this, what? We don't know. We never know the results of our actions, right? We never know. We're in ignorance. I don't even know who I am. Well, he wants us to have knowledge. And he wants us to be happy. He wants us to have unlimited, ever-expanding joy. And everything he's doing for us, whether difficulty or opulence, is for that purpose. So that's how the devotee thinks. And how does the devotee feel? The devotee feels happy and joyous. I have such a wonderful master who cares for me so much. And what does the devotee do? Engages in the service of the Lord in all circumstances. Now, what kind of service we do may change. I mean, if I get in some difficulty where my body is broken and I cannot move out of the bed and I cannot speak, then my service that I do has to be remembering Krishna and hearing about Krishna. But I can always do some service for the Lord. The main service I can do for the Lord is just to love him. Really, he doesn't need anything I do externally. Whatever I do externally is in sadhana bhakti, a way to develop love, and in the higher stages of sadhana bhakti, a way to both develop love and express love already developed. The externals are not meaningful in and of themselves. Like in my room, someone put a nice vase of roses. So why? As an expression of affection. So everything we do for the deity, everything we do for Srila Prabhupada, everything we do for the preaching, should be a way of expressing our joyous affection. So how do we do this? How do we have these thoughts, feelings and actions in all circumstances, as Prabhupada says here? We need to interpret things the way that they are. And Advaitacharya here is helping Kamalakanta Vishwas, his secretary, to reinterpret the situation. We tend to think that however we perceive things is how they are. You know, we have our stories about what happens to us. We have our stories about our life. And we tell these stories to ourselves and others. And we think that these stories are the truth. But even according to the empiricists, one of the problems with knowledge gained by the senses and the mind is that we can tell an unlimited number of stories about the same situation. This is said by the empiricists, by the materialists. They give 6 or 7 things wrong with empiric knowledge. And one of them is that the same set of facts and circumstances can lend themselves to an unlimited number of interpretations. But we often don't even think that we're interpreting. We think that the 4 defects, to make mistakes, to be illusioned, to cheat, and to have imperfect senses, do not apply to me. they apply to those materialists out there. And maybe they also apply to the other devotees who disagree with me. But they certainly do not apply to me. So if one starts thinking, they apply to me. And we have so much evidence of how they apply to us. I'm sure we all have a time in our life where someone did something nice for us and we misinterpret it as them doing something mean to us. Have we all had this experience? Or sometimes the other way. I do something nice for someone and they misinterpret it that I am trying to do something mean to them. Have you had this experience?
Yes.
Everybody, you've had? Yes? And then we try to explain to the other person, no, I wasn't doing this, I was doing this. And sometimes the other person keeps interpreting in another way. So first is some honesty and humility. I have 4 defects. Next, my understanding of reality is only that. It is my understanding. It is not reality. How I understand my life is different from my actual life. My life as seen by Krishna and my life as interpreted by me are not the same thing. I can never assume that my story about the facts is the same as the facts. Nor can I assume that the facts of what happened to me only have one obvious story. Such and such has happened to me. Well, obviously, this is what it means. No. Step back. Why do I think I know everything? Then how can I choose? And the key word here is choose, because we choose to interpret our life in a certain way without realizing we're choosing. We just think, well, this is what it is. This is what happened. How else can you understand it? But to say, no, I am choosing to understand things in a certain way. And I can choose to understand everything in my life such as to provoke joy. That is a radical idea. We are thinking, my happiness is dependent on what happens to me. That is a false concept. My happiness is dependent on how I choose to interpret what happens to me. And I, Prabhupada is saying here that each of us can choose to be not just happy, but joyous in all circumstances. Now, I know that this is difficult. We have a habit for millions of years of seeing things in illusion. But it can be done. And it can be done with the help of persons like Advaita Acharya. To go to the Shastra, to go to the sadhus, to go to Guru, not help me fix the externals of my life, but help me see the hand of God. Help me see the love of Krishna. Help me see how Krishna wants me to respond to this. What is the particular response that Krishna wants from me? And how interesting, Advaita Acharya doesn't go to Mahaprabhu and say, why did you give such a severe chastisement to my secretary for such a little thing? He didn't do that. He said, why have you benedicted my secretary more than me? So what response does Krishna want from us? It may not be the thing that comes to our mind most logically. In my opulence, in my difficulty, I may just use my logic and say, okay, Krishna's doing this to me for this reason and he wants this response. Are we sure? So this is the concept of Krishna consciousness. Our philosophy is that we can be happy even in this material world. The devotee actually does not see the material world as a place of misery. They see everything as happy, Prabhupada says many times. Why? Because they reinterpret. The devotee tries to have an interpretation of the facts that is the same as Krishna's interpretation. That is what we try to do. And that takes reading the Shastra, association of the devotees, some trusted persons to help us, clearing our consciousness through chanting, clearing our consciousness by what we eat, who we take from, having, as Mahaprabhu was saying, a purified consciousness. And then it is possible. And we can practice this. This change of consciousness is not just something that will fall on your head like a bolt of lightning. It's not that you're going to go through life interpreting everything like a materialistic person, and one day you're just going to wake up and be a devotee who sees things according to Shastra. It's sadhana bhakti means practice. Yes, one day Krishna will say, okay, I will help. Actually, many days, not just one day, Krishna will help. But he will help, God helps those who help themselves. So we should make an effort to understand how I interpret reality is not reality. How I interpret reality is not reality. How I interpret reality is not reality. My stories about my life are just stories. I am a conditioned soul with four defects, and I believe this. Let me now find a way to interpret my life that will bring me joy. And if you say there is no way to interpret what's happening to me as to lead to joy, then you're saying that Krishna is not a nice person. That he has put me in a situation where joy is impossible because he wants me. That's why we don't surrender to Krishna. We get to the depth of our doubt. Even if the difficulty is that you get banned from the association of Krishna and the devotees, even to that point, that how can I find joy in this situation? How can I interpret this situation in such a way that I will see Krishna's love and find joy? So thank you very much. I think we are over time, so we have no time for questions. I'm very sorry. I hope this was helpful in how to think, how to feel, and how to behave in both opulence and difficulty, and what is the process to cultivate that. Thank you. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.